Alhamdulillah, last night in the Taraweeh, the 12 Juz of the Qur'an was recited. In the first ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. That there is no creature on this earth, except that Allah ta'ala has taken the responsibility to provide for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly where the creature will be. So Allah ta'ala has full knowledge of where the creature, where every creature, every loving creature will be, whether it stays there for a short while, for example, a person goes on a journey, or where a person normally stays. So wherever a person is, wherever every creature is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send its sustenance and provide for it. So this ayah is a very, very, it's such an ayah that grants us a lot of tasalli and makes a person free to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfill his duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our duty is to make the ibadah and to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken responsibility to provide for us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the general condition of man, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them good conditions, Allah ta'ala grants them mercy, ثُمَّ نَزَعَنَاهَا مِنْ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the good condition from a person, put some difficult condition, trying circumstances on him, then what happens generally to man? إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. He has then two qualities. One is he loses hope, very, very quickly he loses hope, and secondly, he becomes ungrateful. All the good conditions that he enjoyed for so long, he forgets about it, and he does not make shukr, he's not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He only concentrates and fixes his gaze on the difficulty he's in and forgets whatever good conditions he was enjoying. And after that, Allah ta'ala says that if Allah ta'ala then, after difficulty, if Allah ta'ala puts a person into ease and comfort, then what happens is the person now forgets the difficulty that he was in, and he becomes innahu lafarihun fakhur. He becomes boastful, and he feels that now this difficult condition that I was in, it can never ever come back onto me. Dhahaba sayyi'atu anni, all hardships have gone away from me forever. And he doesn't realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully in control. Like how he has tested me, he can once again put these difficult conditions on me. So this is the general condition of man, except إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ. Except those people who have the quality of being steadfast, they are able to control themselves, they don't lose themselves in ease and in difficulties. And وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ, and those who have good a'mal, good actions. When a person will have good actions in his life, then he will not be like the general condition that Allah has explained man to be in. Rather, in difficult conditions, he will have hope for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in ease, he will understand this is a bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just like how I'm enjoying this bounty, Allah can very soon change it and test me and try me again. Then further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that one of the reasons why a person doesn't accept the truth, doesn't accept the message of Quran, is because of his love for this world. And if a person only desires this world, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا, the world and the splendor, the beauty of this world, he doesn't believe in the akhirat, he doesn't have iman in the akhirat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever he does in this world, we will give him the fruits of it, the outcome of it. But in the akhirat, there will be nothing for him, illa an-nar, except the fire. All actions that he done in this world will be null and void. He'll come into the akhirat empty-handed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that there are two groups. One is those of iman, those who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other group is those who don't have iman, those who have kufr, and are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says that these two groups, أَلْيَسْتَوْيَانِ مَثَلًا, can their similitude be equal? Can the example of both of them be equal? They can never be the same. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions different incidents of different anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. Seven anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam, the incidents of them are mentioned, and how they made effort amongst the people. And the reason for these incidents that are mentioned at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلَّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. All of these incidents that we relate to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is to strengthen your heart, to make your heart firm, that a person from these incidents, a person sees that how the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, they strove and made an effort among their people. They went through some difficulties, but in the end, they were successful. The nations were destroyed, those who didn't accept. وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ. And in these incidents, the true deen, the true aqidah, true belief has come and has reached us. وَذِكْرَ. And it is a reminder for the people of Iman. Again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, believe in Allah, one Allah, accept the Nabi and the command, follow the way of the Nabi of the time, and you will be successful. So it is a reminder for the people of Iman. The first incident is that of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. He called his people, invited them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the leaders of his nation didn't want to accept. What was their excuse? They said that we see that the people who have followed you are generally the lower caste of people, lower class of people, so we cannot follow you while they are with you. Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam said that if in your eyes these people are low, but I cannot chase these people away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows well what is in their heart. You claim that they don't have sincerity, they're just following me for some worldly benefit. But this here is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows what is well in their heart. The people then said that, oh no, you have caused lots of disputes and arguments amongst us. You've broken the peace amongst us. And this will happen when a person will stand up for the truth and invite towards the haqq. Then those who are not on the haqq obviously will not like it. And then they will claim that you are causing differences and you are breaking up the unity and peace in our society. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam that now nobody is going to bring iman, so you should construct a ship. And Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, under the special care and wahi revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had this ark constructed. The people, when they used to pass by, they used to mock at him that you're building an ark, you're building a ship so far away from the water. Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam said, soon you'll come to know upon whom will the punishment come that will disgrace them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the flood to come. Water came from the sky, water came from the earth, from everywhere. Water was coming. Those that were on the ark, on the ship, they were saved. And those that were not, they were destroyed. Amongst them was even the son of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. And Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam told his son that, mount the, come, climb onto the ship with us. That is, bring iman and accept and come onto the ship. Don't be with the kuffar. But the son refused to believe. He said, I will climb up on a high mountain and this will protect me. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam told him that today none can be saved from Allah ta'ala's command except whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy upon. And then a wave came in between and the son was also drowned. So in these times, Ulama explained that the ship of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam for us is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Person who will practice on the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be protected from all types of fitnas, all types of trials, and all types of death. The second incident is that of Hud alayhi of the qawm of Hud alayhi salatu wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their incident. They also didn't accept. And then the story of Salih alayhi salatu wa sallam with his people, the Thamud, they said that, O Salih, we had great hope in you when you were young. We thought that you'll grow up, you'll become rich, you'll become a leader. But what are these funny things you are calling us towards? We cannot accept it. And then they asked for a miracle. They asked for a pregnant she-camel to come out from the rock. Salih alayhi salatu wa sallam made dua to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took out the she-camel for them. But even though they seen it with their own eyes, that what they had requested, they didn't accept. Instead, they hamstrung the camel, and they were also destroyed. Then the incident of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned. The form of Lut, which were involved in the very great evil of homosexuality, and Allah subhanahu wa taala mentions the incident of the angels that were sent. They came for two missions. One is they came to give Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam glad tidings of his son that will be born to him in his old age. And then they came to send the punishment on the nation of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. So on one side Allah ta'ala was destroying one nation, and on the other side Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was bringing into existence another nation, the nation of from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's progeny. So the people of Lut alayhi salam were involved in this great evil of homosexuality, and they had reached such levels that forget doing it in secret, they were doing it openly. وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمُهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ. They came running to Lut alayhi salam when they came to know that he had some guests, and openly they demanded that hand them over to us so that we can fulfill our desires with them. Lut alayhi salatu wasalam tried to pacify them, explain to them that Allah Ta'ala has granted you your wives. They are more pure and chaste for you to fulfill your desires. But they said, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَعْلَمُ مَا نُرِيدُ. They didn't even conceal. And they said openly that you know what we want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent upon them a great punishment. Their action was upside down. So Allah Ta'ala made them upside down. Allah Ta'ala turned them upside down. And then rained upon them stones from the sky. Then Allah Ta'ala mentions the incident of Shu'aib alayhi salatu wasalam. His people were involved in the wrong of cheating and in doing people down in their business dealings. They used to cheat in weighing and in measuring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the doubt of Shu'aib alayhi salam, that first he invited them to the oneness of Allah. Because if a person doesn't have the awareness of Allah, the fear of Allah, then he gets involved in different types of wrongs. So his people didn't want to accept. They made a mockery of him. They said, "Oh Shu'aib, is your salah, your worship, commanding you to tell us that we should stop doing what we want to do with our wealth? This is our wealth. We can do what we want to with it." But this is not the case. The wealth has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like how Allah has given it to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has laid down rules of how we have to utilize our wealth. So they couldn't understand this. They said, "This is our own wealth. We can do what we want to with it. The only thing is we must get wealth more and more and more. And it doesn't matter how we acquire it and what we do with it." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explains they were also destroyed. Then the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and how he gave da'wah and called Fir'aun towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun didn't want to accept. And those who followed him, Fir'aun led them towards destruction. On the day of Qiyamah also, Fir'aun will lead those who followed him towards the fire and enter them into the fire. So all of these incidents are mentioned so that we take a lesson from it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very important ayah, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ, that remain steadfast as you have been commanded. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was seen on him that some white hair had come about. Sahaba asked that, what has caused this white hair to come to you, O Nabi of Allah? It was said that شَيَّ بَتْنِي هُود وَأَخَوَاتُهَا, that the surah Hud has caused this white hair to come on me. This great command for a person to remain steadfast, to remain completely straight on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to veer to the right, not to veer to the left. This is a great command that we have to also inculcate and bring into our life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, do not even incline a little towards the wrongdoers, towards the oppressors. That is, a person has to remain steadfast on iman, on the tariqah and the way that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. We shouldn't even, with our heart, have a desire or feel that the other ways, the ways of the kuffar, the ways of the oppressors, are better in any aspect. Why? فَتَمَسَّكُمُ النَّارِ, if you were inclined towards them, then the fire will come, will afflict you. So we can well imagine that those who are the wrongdoers, what will happen to them? We have been prohibited from even inclining a little towards them. And how will a person be able to have istiqamah? And how will he stay away from the way of the wrong, of the oppressors? أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, establish salah, bring salah in your life. In 5 times salah, together with the nafil salah, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, good deeds will remove the effect of evil deeds. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the incident of Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. This is known as Ahsan al-Qasas, the best of stories. In here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions different aspects that a person can encounter in his life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us lessons, whether a person is a ruler or he is ruled, whether he is a master or a slave, person in his youth, in his old age, a person if he is oppressed, a person who has kingship and he has some authority, so how he should conduct himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put these lessons in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So the kuffar of Makkah, they wanted to test Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam to see that, is there any way we can find out if he is true in his claim. So the Yahud of Medina had told them that the stories of Ad and Samud, even the children of the Arabs are aware of it. So ask Muhammad that how did the children of Israel, how did the Banu Israel end up in Egypt? They were from the land of Sham, from Canaan. How was it that they ended up staying in Egypt? So if Muhammad can explain to you this, and he is able to give you the correct answer, then you should know that he is a true Nabi. So on that year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the incident, the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The incidents of other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are mentioned in different parahs, different surahs. But the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam is only mentioned in this surah. And contrary to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the other incidents, here the whole story of Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioned at one go. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was young, he saw a dream in which he saw 11 stars and the sun and the moon all making sajda to him. So he explained the dream to his father, who told him that do not mention this dream to your brothers because they have jealousy for you and then they will plot against you. So we see that they were the children of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But no matter, a person can be from a very, very pious household, his father can be a great buzruk, alim, etc. But himself, he has to make an effort on his own heart to remove these bad qualities that come in a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. The real enemy of man is shaytan. Shaytan incites and brings about all of these problems between people, between brothers, between close people. So shaytan is our true enemy, he incites us. We have to always be wary and be on our guard against him. Anyway, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's dream, somehow the brothers came to know of it and they plotted against him. Some of them said, let's kill him. The others said, no, don't kill him, but throw him in a well. And then he was thrown into a well. Some travelers were passing by and they took him out of the well and they took him to Egypt, and then he was sold as a slave. And growing up now in the house of the Aziz, who was a very prominent person in Egypt, another great test now came upon Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, where the wife of the Aziz tried to seduce him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained that she locked all the doors and she called Yusuf alayhi salam to herself. So this was a great test and shows the great integrity of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his chastity and purity. And it is a lesson for all of us that in such a condition, situation where there are all means for a person to fulfill his desires, he's far away from his family, he's in secrecy, he's making no effort to commit the wrong. The wrong is calling him to itself. And a person now can fulfill his desires with a beautiful woman of high standing, and there's no harm can come to him. But at that time, how a person has to control himself and protect himself, and how will a person be able to save himself in that situation? Shouldn't put himself in that situation, but all around us, fitnas are calling us to them. So a person will be able to protect himself when he has Allah Ta'ala in his heart. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, قَالَ مَعَادَ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. That, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. How can I do this here? Allah Ta'ala has been so kind to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken me from being a slave. Allah Ta'ala has granted me such a good place to stay. Allah Ta'ala has granted me a good household. Allah Ta'ala has seen to my needs. He's kept me with izzat, with honor. Allah has favored me with so many favors. How can I disobey my Allah? So a person should have Allah Ta'ala in his heart all the time, think of Allah. And especially a person going into places where there's fitna should increase in his dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a fort that will protect a person from all the fitnas around. Then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam ran away. So now a person, when the fitna calls him, we also can't sit in such a tawassumi as we're making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the person should get himself out of that situation. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam didn't just sit there. He ran away, made an effort. The doors were locked, but he ran towards the doors. Whatever is in a person's control, a person was trying to do, Allah Ta'ala made it such that the master, the husband, he was standing at the door, and he opened the door, and he sees the two of them running towards him. And it was clear, Allah Ta'ala also made a witness, testified it. A small child gave testimony that if the shirt is torn from the front, then Yusuf alayhi salam, he is in the wrong. If the shirt is torn from the back, then the lady, she is in the wrong. So it was very clear to the master, but because of the situation that was prevalent those days, that probably a woman, they were in control, or he had very loose morals. So he didn't even, normally a person would divorce his wife, separate from his wife, but what he done, he tried to subdue the matter, so to say, brush it under the carpet. So Yusuf alayhi salam, just keep quiet, don't speak about this here. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how Yusuf alayhi salam chose to go to jail instead of being involved in the fitna. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, then when he was in the jail, a person, when he was in the jail, then too also he gave da'wah and invited towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person in all situations, all conditions, he has to carry out whatever is his responsibility, whatever his work is. Even in the day, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam seized the opportunity and gave da'wah to those two inmates who came to ask him regarding the interpretation of their dreams. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam gave da'wah towards them. So a person who has the fikr of da'wah, he'll look for situations where he can invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, when they were released from jail, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told one of them who was going to be the cupbearer for the king that you should remind the king about me that I am here languishing in prison. But he forgot, and then after many years, when the king had a dream, he remembered and he came back to Yusuf alayhi salam to ask the interpretation of the dream. At that time also Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam didn't say, what happened, you never make arrangements for my release from prison, and now you're coming to ask me for a favor. No, he gave benefit. So a person should at all times be of benefit for people. And then Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala explained that Yusuf alayhi salam, to protect his integrity, he refused to come out of the jail until his innocence was declared. So if a person has some position of honor and a block comes onto his name, then for him to fear his name, this is not contrary to it is correct. A person should make an effort to keep his name clear and to remove any block that might come on his name. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow.